When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians and his letter to the Galatians, points out to all of us that it is better to serve God than to serve man. He points out in reference to his dialogue with St. Peter himself as to whether the Gentiles should be circumcised or not. He asks, "Do I preach in order to please man?" The answer is very clearly no, because St. Paul stood up for what is most important. That is, he stood up for truth when he knew it. And today's gospel sheds profound light on this mystery to us, for today's gospel is a gospel about truth, and most especially about truth incarnate, the Savior of the world. And so we learn that the Son was swallowed up, for that is the meaning of the Hebrew expression translated "when it was evening." That is, the Son is literally seemed to be swallowed up by the sea and plunged into the very depths of darkness, so that darkness truly reigns. And indeed, at the time of the Lord's incarnation, darkness had reigned over the whole of the earth, save those bastions of faith that were preserved, and most especially preserved by the Holy Mother of God, who from the first moment of her conception would bask in the light of truth and would maintain and hold that truth, and still maintains and holds that truth as she will for all eternity. And so, truth becomes very crucial. And in the very next verse, when after we hear about the swallowing up of the Son, that is, the rejection of revelation by the chosen people and the Gentile peoples alike, as St. Paul will tell us, for he says very clearly that all lay in sin, and he points out to the chosen people, their sin is greater because they were not only guided by the natural law, but by the revealed law, and so their rejection was more profound, more deep, and more cutting than the rejection of the Gentiles. But in the very next verse, we are given hope, we are given strength, for we learn that all will be cured if they come and gather at the door. What door were they called to come to gather at? None other than the door of the home of St. Peter, that most blessed of all apostles, who in his profession of faith would become the vicar of Christ on earth, and so he would be the vanguard, the guardian of truth. And so the church here, we are told by revelation of St. Mark, is the pillar of truth. And that pillar is guarded by one man and one man only. And so it is to Peter that has been entrusted the defense of truth in matters of faith and morals. And so truth becomes essential for all those who wish to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. In today's gospel, we learn that our Lord silences again the tongue of the serpent, as he would always do. Very rarely would he allow the devil to engage him in conversations. Indeed, in the exercising of one individual, he simply declared very emphatically, "Shut up and get out." He would not dialogue with the demons, for he knew that any time the demons try to engage humans in conversation, they do so with one agenda, that is, to lead them astray, to lead them out of the light of truth into the darkness of evil. And so the serpent's tongue this day is sealed up, that it might not spread the venom any further. And so it is very important for us to understand, for our Lord, as it were, means to indicate to us, in curing the fever of the mother of St. Peter, a very profound truth. For any human being can said to have a fever who in his anger towards God stretches forth his hand to do harm. But if reason restrains him, his hand will arise to serve the one true God. This becomes very crucial for us to understand, especially in our day and age. For calmness of demeanor is not a discerner of truth. One may put forth the most diabolical lies in the most calm way, almost matter-of-factly, Calmness of demeanor does not discern truth. We only need to know that the apostles were made up of many men. Some of them were quite, as it were, cantankerous. James and John, sons of thunder. St. Philip and St. Bartholomew, quite different. More calm, but yet guided by truth. So it is not the demeanor by which we judge the truth. And that becomes crucial in some areas of the church in which we attempt to compromise with the spirit of the world. And indeed, the calmer one presents the notion that abortion is a fundamental human right, the greater is the peril to his immortal soul. It matters not whether we know him or not if he can present such diabolical doctrines that the murder of a child in its mother's womb is a fundamental human right with calmness, then he is in greater peril than the one who rails against it. For he has sealed his heart in his mind in a doctrine so contrary to the life-giving doctrine of Jesus Christ that it must scare every member of the mystical body and inspire them to true charity, not a false conciliarism by which we are being saturated in this very day and very age. Truth is very simply defined, very clearly. We abide in truth when the mind conforms to reality, and reality is not within the human soul. Reality is found every time outside of the human soul. Human beings were created to seek happiness outside of themselves. That happiness can be found only when we have found the truth incarnate, when we have found the Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, in our modern day, and in our modern age, in an attempt by Christians not to be considered contrary to the culture, we learn that the FOCA Act, that is, the Freedom of Choice Act, fails to adequately protect life amongst the most vulnerable amongst us. Fails to adequately protect life? It legalizes the murder of children. And this, a defense from Christians in an official catechetical organ of a diocese, it fails to adequately protect. It doesn't protect human life at all. It destroys life at its most precious moment in the womb of its mother, and it allows children to go forward with the murder of their own child without notifying their parents. It annihilates the whole order that God has established, most especially that order that is based on the life lived by the Holy Family in Nazareth. It annihilates it. It is not simply a bad doctrine or a bad act. It is a blasphemous act. And we describe it as not adequately protecting human life. And so we have much work to do, because as we know, as was expected, a recently elected leader of a great nation lifted his government's ban on federally funded abortions to be provided overseas. And we do no service to the truth if we try in a false conciliar spirit to say that our understanding is perverted. Our understanding of truth, if we try to explain this nonsense by declaring something is to be said about the different style he employed in doing so. No style justifies the murder of a child. No style. Indeed, there is no style involved, simply because he was more clever than his predecessors in doing it. How can a Christian who claims to love life itself defend such actions as to be commended because of the different style, or that the style of such a leader is a conciliatory one and indicates a commitment to cooperation with ideological differences within the framework of civility? When can the murder of a child ever be civil? When will the members of the mystical body understand their calling to defend human life and how we defend it? By defending the truce that the Lord came. Find one instance in the public life of the Savior in which he treated leaders of the people in this fashion. The people were treated very differently by the Lord than the leaders, because a leader is always given the grace by God to do what is right for the common good, not what is wrong. And so every leader who violates the law of God does so by violating their conscience. God does not allow leaders to take over the leadership of any nation without giving them the graces to do what is right. And their fundamental driving principle, even the founding fathers of this nation caught, first and foremost to protect and defend life. And ultimately, that can only be done by defending and protecting the truths of Jesus Christ. And so, cooperating with ideological differences, there can be no cooperation between Christ and Satan. None. If you are opposed to life, as our Lord said, you are opposed to me. You are either with me or against me. And there can be no cooperation between the doctrines of demons and the doctrines of Christ. None. There can be no compromise in the members of the mystical body in this matter. We cannot pray, according to the teachings of the church, for the success of the policies of any administration in any land, in any nation, that are so contrary to the will of God, so contrary to the dignity of human life. It is forbidden to pray for the success of such an administration. But we must always and everywhere understand that when someone puts forth policies that are so clearly and irrevocably contrary to the divine will, we cannot support such policies. But we must pray. We must, and we are obliged to pray, for the personal welfare of such souls. Most especially, we must pray constantly and sacrifice constantly for their conversion, so that they come to know and understand what St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe knew and understand in regards to truth. He wrote in the final issue of the Night of the Immaculate an article on truth. And it was then that the Nazi government resolved emphatically and irrevocably to shut him down. And ultimately, he would be shut down by the standards of this world, but only to be freed in the next world to work for the salvation of his enemies. And ultimately, he would conquer from heaven the single largest known mass murderer in the history of mankind, Rudolf Hess, commandant of the Auschwitz concentration camp, who on his deathbed, basically, because he had been determined to have suffered execution for his crimes, would ultimately request a priest on the evening before he was to die and ultimately be reconciled with the church whom he had departed years ago because he was angry with God. St. Maximilian wrote, "No one in the world can change truth. What we can and should do is seek truth and to serve it when we have found it. The real conflict is the inner conflict. Beyond armies of occupation, hecatombs of extermination camps, there are two irreconcilable enemies in the depth of every soul." How different is the language of the saints to our modern Christian apologists. Two irreconcilable enemies. He doesn't even use the word differences. He calls them enemies. In the depth of every soul, good and evil, sin and love, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. The saints are profound in the simplicity of their presentation of the doctrine. And he continues, "And what use are the victories on the battlefield if we ourselves are defeated in our innermost personal selves. We can boast that we have been victorious because we have engaged the enemy in some amorphous dialogue. But what we have only done is join their camp. We think we have a victory on the battlefield, and we have simply imperiled our soul. And so, when Saint Maximilian, without mentioning the government he was critiquing, but don't worry, they knew who he meant, did so, he was shut down by worldly standards, but raised up by the supernatural standards of God. And when a leader of a nation has declared publicly that he is a follower of a certain philosopher, Saul Alinsky by name, then we can safely assume he follows the doctrines, because he quotes them often. Amongst those doctrines in his chapter called Tactics, he writes, "Make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. You can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity." Will we take up that challenge and show the world that we can, not by our own strength, but by the grace of God? Because it is only that witness of true Christianity that is the hope of the world. No matter how far a soul is from the Master, their hope lies in our holding up the standards of Christ in our own personal life. He further points out, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. So you pick one member of the church, you freeze them, you personalize them, and you polarize them. And that has already been done with the Vicar of Christ, because it has been told by us of these leaders that they will not let the man in Rome tell them what to do. And so we must always be on guard when we adopt a false spirit of conciliarism, which means ultimately to adopt falsehood contrary to truth. We must always strive to seek to imitate her who received truth from the first moment of her conception and received it in an extraordinary way on the night of the Incarnation. To always be open to receive truth, because it is only when we are open to receive it that we can give it freely as the Mother of God has given it to the world. And so let us strive to heroically defend this truth that was purchased for us by the very blood of Christ, and Christ demands one thing of us, to defend that truth with our own blood, as Saint Maximilian would do, and all the martyrs of the church, and all the souls, whether they suffered a blood martyrdom or not, who were victorious in the struggle in this world. To try to compromise, to try to point out that this is only one issue amongst many issues, and if we cannot get them to accept this issue, we must work on the social doctrine. And what does our Lord say about that communist understanding of Christianity? The poor you will always have with you. The poor will be taken care for insofar as charity reigns in the soul. Government handouts are not charity. They destroy human dignity. True charity recognizes the heights that the human soul can attain in the spiritual and in the physical order. Those heights are attained when everything we do, from the simplest act of tying a shoe to the building and construction of a cathedral, are done solely for the glory of God. Every act can become a supernatural act, insofar as it is done for the glory of God. And that is how Christendom is built up. But primarily, it is built up in the soul of the believer, because it is only when we receive it there that we can go forth and manifest to the world in the physical order our belief in the Incarnation. And so we produce beauty, because as Pope John Paul II pointed out, beauty is one of the proofs of God's existence. And so we must seek to establish it everywhere we go. Saint Maximilian was an evangelist because everywhere he went, He strove to instill the love of truth, that is, the love of Christ, in the hearts of men. That is why the Mother of God is the most extraordinary of all evangelists, because she established truth in the hearts of the pillars of the church, the apostles, and through them she seeks to establish it until the end of time. And so let us resolve to stay close to the pillar and the safeguard of truth, the Vicar of Christ, whose prerogative was won for him by the prayers and request of the Mother of God. And let us always strive to defend Christ by seeking to imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that like her, we cooperate in her mission to become the spiritual mother of the whole world. There isn't a soul in the world that the Mother of God has abandoned. We only block her mission when we don't cooperate with her mission. And when we try to compromise or poo-poo truth by false notions and sentimental justifications of going beyond the defense of life, because we can't get through to him on that matter, then we have entered stealthily and quietly into the enemy's camp. The sun of God's grace has set, and the reign of evil has been established in the soul. But the soul need not despair, for the sun rises again every day. And it will rise in the souls of the most hardened sinner if we cooperate in the mission of Christ, so that our sufferings and our sacrifices truly become united to the suffering and sacrifice of Christ. In order to do that, we must seek always and everywhere to abide in truth. And the truth has been declared to us in this matter. I do not quote any personal theologian or my own opinion. The Catechism of the Catholic Church declares itself that a nation who aborts its children is a dead nation. It is dead. It is only a matter of how God will carry out the sentence. It will become worse if the members of the mystical body don't cooperate. It will become better if they cooperate. We do not operate by the force of numbers. We operate by our conformity of our wills to the will of God. As the devil would point out to St. John Marie Vianney, if there were 5 priests in the world like you, my reign would be ended. And St. John Vianney, knowing his obligation to defend truth, didn't fall for it. He declared, "That may be so, but I won't bite on that bait of pride," to which he got a thorough beating from Satan himself. Thoroughly, so much so that it was almost a nightly ritual for him, and he longed for it. And that blood still remains on the walls of his rectory, where he had to pick himself up from unconsciousness almost nightly, because he was willing to suffer at the very hands of Satan himself for the salvation of the world, because his Lord and his Mother did so first.